Chapter 18. Baptism and Your Relationship with God. How is Christian baptism performed? What steps do you need to take to qualify for baptism? How does a person make a dedication to God? What is the special reason for getting baptized? Paragraph 1 question. Why did an Ethiopian court official request baptism? Look, here is water. What prevents me from getting baptized? That question was asked by an Ethiopian court official in the first century. A Christian named Philip had proved to him that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Touched to the heart by what he had learned from the scriptures, the Ethiopian man took action. He showed that he wanted to be baptized. Acts 8:26-36. Paragraph 2, question. Why should you think seriously about baptism? If you have carefully studied the earlier chapters of this book with one of Jehovah's Witnesses, you may feel ready to ask, what prevents me from getting baptized? By now, you have learned about the Bible's promise of everlasting life in paradise. You have also learned about the true condition of the dead and the resurrection hope. You have probably been associating with Jehovah's Witnesses at their congregation meetings and have seen for yourself how they practice the true religion. Most important, you have likely begun to develop a personal relationship with Jehovah God. Paragraph 3, Question A. What command did Jesus give his followers? Question B. How is water baptism performed? How can you show that you want to serve God? Jesus told his followers, "Go and make disciples of people of all the nations, baptizing them." Matthew 28:19. Jesus himself set the example by being baptized in water. He was not sprinkled with water, and he did not just have some water poured over his head. The word baptize comes from a Greek term meaning dip under water. Christian baptism, therefore, means being fully dipped or immersed in water. Paragraph 4, question. What does water baptism indicate? Water baptism is a requirement for all who want to have a relationship with Jehovah God. Baptism publicly indicates your desire to serve God. It shows that you are delighted to do Jehovah's will. To qualify for baptism, however, you must take definite steps. Knowledge and faith needed. Paragraph 5, Question A. What is the first step in qualifying for baptism? Question B. Why are Christian meetings important? You have already begun to take the first step. How? By coming to know Jehovah God and Jesus Christ, perhaps by means of a systematic study of the Bible. John 17:3 reads, "This means everlasting life. They're coming to know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ." But there is more to learn. Christians want to be filled with the accurate knowledge of God's will. Colossians 1:9. Attending the congregation meetings of Jehovah's Witnesses is a big help in this regard. It is important to attend such meetings. Regular meeting attendance will help you come to know God. Paragraph 6, question. How much Bible knowledge must you have in order to qualify for baptism? Of course, you do not need to know everything in the Bible in order to qualify for baptism. The Ethiopian court official had some knowledge, but he needed help to understand certain parts of the scriptures. Likewise, you still have much to learn. In fact, you will never stop learning about God. Before you can get baptized, however, you need to know and accept at least the basic Bible teachings. Such teachings include the truth about the condition of the dead and the importance of God's name and His kingdom. Paragraph 7, question. What effect should a study of the Bible have on you? Knowledge alone is not enough, though, for without faith, it is impossible to please God well. Hebrews 11:6. The Bible tells us that when some people in the ancient city of Corinth heard the Christian message, they began to believe and be baptized. Acts 18:8. In a similar way, a study of the Bible should fill you with faith that it is the inspired Word of God. Bible study should help you to have faith in God's promises and in the saving power of Jesus' sacrifice. Sharing Bible truth with others. Paragraph 8, question. What will move you to share with others what you have learned? As faith grows in your heart, you will find it hard to keep what you have learned to yourself. You will be strongly motivated to speak to others about God and His purposes. 2 Corinthians 4:13 reads, Now because we have the same spirit of faith as that of which it is written, I exercised faith, therefore I spoke. We too exercise faith, and therefore we speak. Paragraphs 9 and 10, Question A. With whom might you begin sharing Bible truth? Question B. What should you do if you want to share in the organized preaching work of Jehovah's Witnesses? You might begin to share Bible truth with others by tactfully speaking about it to your relatives, friends, neighbors, and workmates. In time, you will want to share in the organized preaching work of Jehovah's Witnesses. At that point, feel free to talk things over with the witness who is teaching you the Bible. If it appears that you qualify to participate in the witnessing work, arrangements will be made for you and your teacher to meet with two of the congregation elders. This will enable you to get better acquainted with some Christian elders who shepherd the flock of God. If these elders see that you understand and believe basic Bible teachings, are living in harmony with God's principles, and truly want to be one of Jehovah's Witnesses, they will let you know that you qualify to share in the field ministry as an unbaptized publisher of the good news. Paragraph 11, question. What changes might some have to make before they qualify for the field ministry? On the other hand, you may need to make some changes in your lifestyle and habits in order to qualify for the field ministry. This may include stopping some practices that have been kept secret from others. Hence, before you ask about becoming an unbaptized publisher, you need to be free of serious sins, such as sexual immorality, drunkenness, and drug abuse. 1 Corinthians 6:9 and 10 reads, Or do you not know that unrighteous people will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be misled. Those who are sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who submit to homosexual acts, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners will not inherit God's kingdom. Galatians 5:19 through 21 reads, Now the works of the flesh are plainly seen, and they are sexual immorality, uncleanness, brazen conduct, idolatry, spiritism, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, dissensions, divisions, sects, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and things like these. I am forewarning you about these things the same way I already warned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit God's kingdom. Repentance and conversion. Paragraph 12, question. Why is repentance necessary? Some other steps must be taken before you qualify for baptism. The Apostle Peter said, Repent and turn around so as to get your sins blotted out. Acts 3:19. To repent is to feel sincere regret over something you have done. Repentance is clearly fitting if a person has lived an immoral life, but it is also necessary even if one has lived a relatively clean life morally. Why? Because all humans are sinners and need God's forgiveness. Before studying the Bible, you did not know what God's will was. So how could you have lived in full harmony with His will? Therefore, repentance is necessary. Paragraph 13, question. What is conversion? Repentance must be followed by conversion, or turning around. You must do more than feel regret. You need to reject your former way of life and be firmly determined that you will do what is right from now on. Repentance and conversion are steps that you must take before getting baptized. Making a personal dedication. Paragraph 14, question. What important step must you take before getting baptized? There is another important step to take before getting baptized. You must dedicate yourself to Jehovah God. Paragraphs 15 and 16, question. What does it mean to dedicate yourself to God, and what moves a person to do this? When you dedicate yourself to Jehovah God in earnest prayer, you promise to give Him your exclusive devotion forever. Why, though, would someone want to do that? Well, suppose a man has begun to court a woman. The more he learns about her and sees that she has fine qualities, the more he finds himself drawn to her. In time, it is natural that he would ask her to marry him. True, getting married will mean taking on additional responsibilities, but love will move him to take that important step. When you come to know and love Jehovah, you are moved to serve Him without holding anything back or setting any limits in worshiping Him. Anyone who wants to follow God's Son, Jesus Christ, has to disown himself. We disown ourselves by making sure that personal desires and goals do not stand in the way of our complete obedience to God. Before you can get baptized, then, doing Jehovah God's will must be your main purpose in life. 1 Peter 4:2 reads, "So that he may live the remainder of his time in the flesh, no more for the desires of men, but for God's will." Overcoming fear of failure. Paragraph 17, question. Why might some hold back from making a dedication to God? Some hold back from making a dedication to Jehovah because they are somewhat afraid of taking such a serious step. They may fear being accountable to God as a dedicated Christian. Being afraid that they may fail and disappoint Jehovah, they think that it is best not to make a dedication to Him. Paragraph 18, question. What can move you to make a dedication to Jehovah? As you learn to love Jehovah, you will be moved to make a dedication to Him and to do your best to live up to it. After making a dedication, surely you will want to walk worthily of Jehovah in order to please Him fully. Colossians 1:10. Because of your love for God, you will not think it is too hard to do His will. No doubt you will agree with the Apostle John, who wrote, "This is what the love of God means, that we observe His commandments, and yet His commandments are not burdensome." 1 John 5:3. Paragraph 19, question. Why do you not need to fear making a dedication to God? You do not have to be perfect to make a dedication to God. Jehovah knows your limitations and never expects you to do more than you are able to do. He wants you to succeed and will support and help you. Isaiah 41:10 reads, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be anxious, for I am your God. I will fortify you. Yes, I will help you. I will really hold on to you with my right hand of righteousness." You can be sure that if you trust in Jehovah with all your heart, He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Symbolizing your dedication by getting baptized. Paragraph 20, question. Why can dedication to Jehovah not remain a private matter? Thinking about the things we have just discussed may help you to make a personal dedication to Jehovah in prayer. Everyone who really loves God must also make public declaration for salvation. Romans 10:10. How do you go about doing that? Paragraphs 21 and 22. Question: How can you make public declaration of your faith? Let the coordinator of the body of elders of your congregation know that you want to get baptized. He will arrange for some elders to review with you a number of questions that cover the Bible's basic teachings. If these elders agree that you qualify, they will tell you that you can get baptized at the next opportunity. The footnote reads, "Baptisms are a regular feature of annual assemblies and conventions held by Jehovah's Witnesses." End of footnote. A talk reviewing the meaning of baptism is usually given on such occasions. The speaker then invites all baptism candidates to answer two simple questions as one way to make a verbal public declaration of their faith. It is the baptism itself that publicly identifies you as a person who has made a dedication to God and is now one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Baptism candidates are fully immersed in water to show publicly that they have made a dedication to Jehovah. The meaning of your baptism. Paragraph 23, question: What does it mean to be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said that his disciples would be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. This means that a baptism candidate recognizes the authority of Jehovah God and of Jesus Christ. He also recognizes the function and activity of God's Holy Spirit, or active force. Paragraphs 24 and 25, question A: What does baptism symbolize? Question B: What question needs to be answered? However, baptism is not a mere bath. It is a symbol of something very important. Going beneath the water symbolizes that you have died to your former life course. Being raised up out of the water indicates that you are now alive to do the will of God. Remember, too, that you have made a dedication to Jehovah God Himself, not to a work, a cause, other humans, or an organization. Your dedication and baptism are the beginning of a very close friendship with God, an intimate relationship with Him. Baptism does not guarantee salvation. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Keep working out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Philippians 2:12. Baptism is only a beginning. The question is, how can you remain in God's love? Our final chapter will provide the answer. What the Bible teaches. Christian baptism involves complete immersion in water, not just sprinkling. Matthew 3:16. Steps leading to baptism begin with coming to know Jehovah and Jesus, and showing faith, followed by repentance, conversion, and the dedicating of oneself to God. John 17:3. Acts 3:19 and 18:8. To make a dedication to Jehovah, you must disown yourself, even as people disown themselves to follow Jesus. Mark 8:34. Baptism symbolizes dying to one's former way of life and becoming alive to do God's will. 1 Peter 4:2.